State officials are looking at some new suspects in the collapse of an Atlantic salmon farm in Puget Sound over the summer. Sea creatures clinging onto the floating structure's nets. Internal emails and underwater videos obtained by KUOW give a glimpse into the state's investigation. KUOW's John Ryan has more.
On the day the salmon farm collapsed, Jill Davenport was out boating with her family.
This summer we did a lot of crabbing, preferably Dungeness.
While they were setting out some pots for Dungeness crab, they motored right by the trio of salmon farms floating off Cypress Island.
I remember when they were put in the 80s. We've bought a lot of that Atlantic farm-raised salmon from Costco, and we love it.
The middle fish farm was a rectangle of pontoons and nets, altogether bigger than a football field. Davenport saw it start to tear apart. Walkways around the perimeter started to twist and buckle, subtly at first, then dramatically.
It probably was about a half an hour after we got there when we could see the underside of the pens. It's like, okay, something is seriously wrong when you can see seaweed.
KUOW has learned that investigators are asking whether the seaweed itself might have contributed to the disaster. But not just seaweed, all sorts of sea life was clinging to the submerged portions of the farm.
There was a huge mussel growth.
Tom Wooten witnessed the nets being loaded onto a dock during the cleanup of the ruined fish farm. He's tribal chair of the Samish Nation in Anacortes. He is no fan of Atlantic salmon.
They belong in the Atlantic Ocean. That's where they come from.
Wooten says the nets were clogged with thick clumps of blue mussels.
I mean, you couldn't see through the netting. It was that packed with mussels. So it was a big year for mussels, I guess.
If you want to see for yourself, we've got underwater photos and videos up at KUOW.org. Like all salmon farms in the United States, the three Cypress Island farms are owned by a Canadian company called Cook Aquaculture. While Cook was still trying to salvage its collapsed farm, a Canadian activist and filmmaker named April Benz dove into Deepwater Bay with scuba gear and a video camera. Visibility was poor that day, so in the video you can't see more than a few feet, but you can see some parts of the net only slightly obscured by seaweed. Others are covered in algae and mussels and white sea anemones looking like stalks of cauliflower. Ben says the farm looked like a hurricane hit it underwater with snapped cables and mangled metal, but she says the farm didn't have more stuff growing on it than she's seen on salmon farms off Vancouver Island. Cook employees radioed her support boat. They said diving near the salvage operation was extremely dangerous. Eventually, fish farm workers signaled her directly. A distress signal designed to get her to come to the surface, which she did. In the long, sunlit days of a northwest summer, algae grows quickly on almost anything underwater that doesn't swim away. So do little animals like barnacles and mussels. Together, they're called fouling organisms because they can foul up underwater equipment. They are a constant challenge for salmon farmers.
If the nets are clean, the fish are happy, essentially, in layman's terms.
Clean nets are Kevin Onklin's business. His company cleans and repairs nets for fish farms in British Columbia.
All fish need good water flow, especially salmon. They like well-oxygenated water. So, you know, it's not in any farmer's best interest to have dirty, really heavily fouled nets.
Salmon farms generally aren't mom-and-pop operations. They're mostly run by multinational firms like Cook. Their high-tech machinery includes underwater pressure washers that can cost $500,000 each. The remote-controlled machines blast water at the nets to strip off all their little stowaways.
So it's like playing a video game, to be honest.
By blocking water that would otherwise flow through a net, fouling can make salmon farms bear the brunt of underwater currents.
Fouling obviously can contribute to loads on a farm, like on the mooring lines or on cages.
Engineering studies show heavy fouling can increase the sideways drag on a net more than tenfold. Engineers say a properly designed fish farm shouldn't be damaged by currents, even with badly clogged nets. But there was lots of evidence that Cook's aging farm wasn't in proper condition last year. The company had known for months the farm suffered from corrosion and metal fatigue. Even before the collapse, the salmon farm broke free of its moorings in July. The company told regulators it did remedial cleaning of its nets after that. Cook Vice President Joel Richardson says the company can't comment on any matters that may be under investigation. Public records show that the matter of underwater growth is under investigation.
All right, coming down. Coming down.
In September, the Department of Natural Resources recorded underwater videos of the two remaining salmon farms off Cypress Island. The agency was studying the nets on the neighboring farms to help understand the August collapse. The conditions shown in the videos vary. In places, the sea life is so thick you can't even see the mesh of the nets until a diver brushes the growth out of the way with his neoprene glove. Even if the fouling played no role in the collapse, it could mean trouble for Cook. The state has warned the company it could lose its lease to use state waters if it hasn't kept its farm in a clean and safe condition. The Department of Natural Resources says it will wrap up its investigation into the Great Atlantic Salmon Escape of 2017 by the end of January. In Seattle, I'm John Ryan, KUOW News.